Greetings and salutations from the Agile Revolution. Tony here.
And Craig.
And Renee.
And with us, we've got Alistair Coburn and Soledad Pinter from the Heart of Agile. And today we're going to talk about the Heart of Agile Academy that's just been launched. Morning or evening in your case, wherever you are in the world, you two.
Well, I'm in Florida and it's 6:30 p.m. And it's sunny here and warm and I'm enjoying the evening.
Good evening here in Belgium. I mean, I'm in Ghent. It's 12:30 a.m. in the morning already, so it's quite midnight. Quite a rainy and cloudy day today, but it's fine. So good morning to you.
So Solly gets the kudos for waking up. Nobody else has done it hard today. Right. I guess the first question that we want to really ask about is, you know, why the Heart of Agile Academy?
All right. Quite what an appropriate question that you have there. Let's see. We're going to back up. So the Heart of Agile Academy has been created to give a new fresh vision and meaning to what we know today about certification programs and program development career paths. For almost two decades, we've been dealing with these inflated certifications and titles that became job roles and job descriptions. And, you know, after like 2 days of training-based hours, just overnight, people were entitled as experts on the matter. And that's generated widespread cynicism in our industry, as you guys are well aware. So this is a fresh sheet of paper, if you will. We have a chance to redirect ourselves and hopefully sort of the education system if we want. If we back up, let's say, you know, more than 20 years before certified Scrum Master certificates came along, people got certificates for going to a class, and then they would show that they'd gone to the class, and then that would go into their record as an employee, and they would have a meeting with their manager every year and work out an education and career growth plan. And in that, they would need to show that they had, you know, had taken courses and been educated. And in general, so these certificates were very important. And a certificate asserted that a person had taken a course. Nothing more, just said the person took the course, you know, completed the course. And this was sufficient, actually. This was sufficient. It was necessary for both the employees and for the companies. And this is basically, we're going to roll back to that model when we get there. What happened around 2003 or so was that the certified Scrum Master certificate suddenly announced that after this two-day course, a person was a certified role name, a certified job title, not just that they had been in a course for 2 days, but that they actually had learned enough to be certified as a professional in the job. And this is the trigger that caused this kind of a grade inflation, certificate inflation, from which we still have not recovered. You can now become a certified Scrum Master, product owner, project manager, coach, whatever you want. And all new education programs are feeling pushed from this pressure to create a certified title. And that's the thing that we're planning on resetting. Now, leaving aside the issue of inflation of the certificate name, that particular design of certification system presents two problems, which we'd like to take the current time to correct. And the first is that if you are a business analyst, a product owner, product manager, coach, tester, whatever you may be, these are career paths, drawing upon skills developed over years. People need to attend classes in the different subspecialties and different skills in the different areas of their professions. And related to that, ideally, a person should have an incentive to take courses from different instructors, each instructor being an expert in their own specialty. So if you get a certificate of job title after only one class, it's difficult for a person to justify to themselves or to their company that they should take another class. And if they take another class, then it has to bring an even more inflated title, and so on. So this is what we're after. This is the first thing. So there's two elements. there are basically sort of like two core design decisions in coming up with something like an academy or a education program like we're trying to do. And the first is we're going to burn off the thing with titles. So in all of the courses will be that certified that a person completed a course. Okay. The other one is that in particular here, I'm looking at a specific problem to the Scrum Alliance, where they've got like 300 people teaching the same course, teaching how to be a certified Scrum Master. That's the base course. If we look at the heart of Agile, and for those people who don't know what the heart of Agile is, it's fundamentally just four words. I keep saying this. It's just four words. And the four words are collaborate, deliver, reflect, and improve. Collaborate to deliver, reflect to improve. That's it. That's all there is. So it's not a process. Those are like focus areas. And we don't need 300 people teaching like those four words. You know, we'll have some kind of a course and some number of people teaching that for, you know, one day or 2 days or whatever. But that's not the interesting part. The interesting part is helping people to become better at collaborating. And to become better at collaborating, they're going to want to develop skills in facilitation, giving feedback, receiving feedback. There's a thing called clean language, listening skills, writing skills. We've got collaboration cards, things about leadership, things about culture. This is a very rich and wide area to investigate. And so what we want is to find experts in all of those different areas, subspecialties in there, and let people go and build competencies in lots of areas. Okay, that's just in collaborate. Then in deliver, we've got all of the lean, Kanban, Q, management flow, the mathematics of internal flow. You've got all of the lean startup information with rapid delivery and feedback. You've got the modern product management. You've got Carpaccio. You've got slicing. You've got the finance, you know, internal rate of return and finance models of stage delivery and so on. In reflect and improve, we're using psychology, now solutions-focused coaching, micro-improvements. You've got data analysis, all kinds of things. So the interesting part is not the heart of Agile, the four words. The interesting part is all of the subtopics behind any one of those words, for which we're going to now, for the Academy, we have the opportunity to find experts in all of those different subspecialties and bring them in, and then people can go and take courses and collect like merit badges, you know, go get two or three, you know, in the collaborate sector, and then go get a couple in the deliver sector. And, you know, you can't collect them all because it'll be too many. But so you see, the design is going to be fundamentally different. The first thing we do is to burn off the certified title, go to course completion. The second thing we burn off is that we have 300 people teaching the same course. Much more interesting to have 300 people teaching each their own specialty, half day, one day, 2 day, whatever it might be, and then let people go and kind of deepen their mastery in each of these four sectors. That's the quick rundown on that.
So Alistair, I guess what I really like about that is that you're right for 20 years, and I speak of this as someone who's an IC Agile trainer as well, but I get frustrated because I'm pegged in this box that you realize that people in the class, they might be sitting say an Agile Fundamentals class, or, you know, probably for me more regularly, something like maybe a product owner class or a coaching class. And you realize that there's this thing, particularly when you're in an organization, that actually what they need is a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And maybe they need the slicing, the Carpaccio and the finance, but they don't need the Kanban. But of course, the accreditation says hit all these learning objectives. So I really love that. I think the other thing is that we haven't really got past. I mean, I know Scrum is starting to introduce these advanced Scrum Master classes and things like that. And you've run a very successful advanced Agile class for many years. Has this sort of built on what you've learnt from essentially teaching advanced Agile for a number of years?
Well, Craig, you probably know, your listeners may not, but you know that I was one of the people who started IC Agile. And we had these discussions, and we actually literally tried to fix this problem 10 years ago. In 2010, when Ahmed Sidki and I started designing IC Agile, this was one of our conversations. We wanted to make sure that people... So here was the situation we had in 2010. I was teaching a product owner product management class, and it had things like motivation maps and use cases and KMO quality. And Jeff Patton was teaching a product owner class, and it had role analysis and story maps and personas. And Luke Holman was teaching a product management class and had business analysis and, you know, competition analysis. And literally Ahmed and I sat and we're going, how do we design this to encourage people to take all three classes? Because all three classes are amazing and they don't overlap and that would be so good, right? And we tried and we failed in the end. You know, I mean, I see Agile now, because of the competitive pressure, it doesn't take very many classes, and I don't know the current state of it, before you're up certified level two, and it's a title. Again, it's a title. And so I have tried on this. Yes, it's in my advanced Agile class, you had to go through my class four times minimum. Ouch. To get a certified advanced Agile certificate, minimum four times.
Dang, I'm one short.
And then, it hurts.
Well, no, and then you have to, and then you, it's like a black belt. Then you have to get past me, right? So, and my tests,
and again, that hurts as well, right?
Yeah, well, and my tests are very unpredictable, right? As to what it is I'm going to demand from people.
You notice that both Solly and I are rocking. For our listeners can't see it, but both Solly and I are doing the rock in the corner because we've been through it.
That's why I stopped at two and didn't go to the four.
Ask Kelsey Van Haster and ask Martin Kearns. Ask Kearnsy what he went through. Like I roasted that poor man in his class. He was in pain at the end, and he got better for it. He's like a real sharp guy. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gotten it. And he's adapted. But talk to him about rolling, you know, COVID. Anyway, but you still want a job title. It just said certified. It just said certified advanced Agile. That's it. There's no job title in it. So yeah, Craig. So your point is we've been looking for an opening for how to like reset the direction for over 10 years, and IC Agile made a run at it, right? And it's not bad. I helped design the course. I happen to like it. I structure that thing. But we get a fresh sheet. And so now we're looking at what is it that the world, it's 2020 now, right? What can the world use in 2020? How do we encourage people just to deepen their skills acquisition in lots of different areas? Incentivize people, you know, how do you construct a business model that's collaborative and competitive at the same time, right? The chaotic stuff. So we're trying to do all of those things.
I'm really glad that you brought up the IC Agile reference because it was a question that I was going to have. You know, how do you see this not going down that same pathway of, I'm going to use the term maybe inappropriately, of selling out to certifications?
The thing is, and somebody asked, we had a meetup today online, and someone who had been in lots of our discussions still said the following: yes, but courses aren't enough. A person shouldn't get a certificate until they can show they've done, you know, months of practice. And I asked them, what would that certificate say? And it said it would be a certified, and then he put in a job title, right? So I said, we are now by reflex thinking that certificates indicate a job title. And if you burn that off and you just say a person took a course. Now, if you do a little gamification, you know, everybody, you jump into gamification sooner or later in all of these things, you could have kind of cute things that say you've collected five merit badges in the collaborate corner, or you've successfully got one merit badge in each of the four quadrants, right? So there are things like that, but those aren't job titles. So at least for the moment, we have no intention to do anything other than, so we have a couple of different certificate levels. So certificate level A, so we have the certificates designed. We've been giving them out, practicing, you know, the speaking and the writing of them. A certificate level A would be a half day or one day workshop category thing. Certificate level B is a 2 or 3 day class. And it just popped up. Sola doesn't even know this yet. Hi, Sola. We're about to surprise you, you know, in public. As someone brought up the idea that there's a course that literally would take months and you had to turn in work products over a period of months in order to complete the course, right? Now, again, that's not a job title. It's a course. And we might use the letter C, right, for something that takes months and it's got a level of difficulty indicator. And then we're going to use a different letter, maybe the letter L or something like that, for self-paced online courses, you know, that are in a different category. So to answer your question, this is how, at least at the moment, we're seeing how to resist this pressure, is just to have course completion certificates and nothing that says, you know, at the end.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's obviously a reason why we have over 3,000 different certification programs in Agile as a community. I think as a root cause analysis, you know, there's people who want to get the job and consequently that's why they do these courses. But I think also there's people that need to have a certification on their resume just to be able to get a foot in the door from a HR perspective.
Let me run down that for a second, because I'm pretty collaborative, non-competitive about all of these things. It's, you know, it's whatever the big ocean, whatever big tent, I think they call that, right? A point of view. We're not going to unseat the CSM as the leading job attractor certification in the world, or whatever the safe is, safe, you know, Scrum or whatever. People are going to get that, right? They go to a 2 day class, certified Scrum product owner, certified whatever product, safe product owner, whatever. 2 days and they get a job. Yeah. So they got the job now. And what do they do tomorrow? What do they do next year? How do they show they've progressed? And one path is to take, I am now an advanced product owner or an advanced Scrum master or an advanced UX designer with another 2 day course. We'd like to offer a different career enhancement way with this, what I call it, merit badges would be if you're in the Boy Scout, Girl Scout kind of category like that. So anyway, that's my answer, Renee.
Yeah, it kind of seems to me a little bit that I like the fact that we're getting away from the job titles, and in a perfect world, you know, I'd hope that we didn't have all the, you know, I have to get a certified Scrum Master certificate, blah, blah, blah. But the reality is that will be the case, because there'll be some people who go to a job and they say, we need you to be Scrum, and they go, oh God, what's that? And they need a place to start. But you're right, what's been missing is that, as I was alluding to before, that more advanced level when you go, now I need to know more about this or this. But I think the really interesting thing about this also is that we can start to reshape even where people start. So if you want to start with Scrum and get that, you know, that blat, because that's what your organization is doing, that's a great, you know, that might be a great place for you to start. But what's nice about this is that it could also be a starting point to go, I just want to dabble and learn a little bit about Kanban, or I want to dabble and learn a little bit about something else. So I guess my question to you is that one of the, I don't want to say criticisms, but I guess feedback is probably the word I want, that some people have about Heart of Agile, and we've talked to you about this before, is people don't really know where to start, because it's, you know, you've got the four words, and people go, well, because they're so used to having a framework. So I can see the same with the Academy. What's your suggestion for people if they're looking for a roadmap to get through this?
That's really cool. And I don't want to put Sola on the spot, given, you know, it's midnight her time, and she doesn't have much of a voice, and we haven't rehearsed. But raise your finger, you know, Sola, if you want to jump in here. I have a tendency to back up on these answers, and I apologize, except I don't apologize, right? Sorry, no sorry. Reference to Shuhai Ri. People need a starting point. They need a starting kit. And up until now, all starting kits have been SHU. We will teach you Scrum at a SHU level. And the problem is that, you know, the world is very dynamic, the job is dynamic, and the SHU level stuff gets in your way. So what we're working on, and it's a point of discussion, we inch toward it, is not to say SHU level stuff, but is there a starter kit for the Heart of Agile? What would a starter kit look like that isn't a SHU level?
Sally?
Oh, that's exactly how I start working with Alistair. That was my challenge to him when I first hear about Heart of Agile. I like the question because that was my question when I heard about Heart of Agile. Okay, I like the idea. I like the concept. What do I do tomorrow? What can I do? And that was my first talk on Heart of Agile, to get of this small shoe toolbox of four things that work for me and works for out of experience as an example of where to start and how to start this path. It doesn't mean that there are other ways. We see the four quadrants as a mind map of techniques of topics that we know that we need to address, conversations, that things that we need to talk about. So that's the idea behind even that career path of learning growth curve that we think behind Heart of Agile, right? I like to call it mandala. I like to call it compass, because depends on where you are is which of the quadrants you need to get deep in. So you need to collect more skills on it, right? To be better at collaboration, you need to be better at delivering. What are the different techniques? What are the different things that I can learn? And even sometimes comes from different quadrants combined, right? Not just for one. So there are many combinations that comes out from there. And that's, I think, it's one of the beauty of this not straight line certification ladder that you are a level here and next tomorrow she's better than me on this, so I'm better than him on that. And that is what happened with the current titles, right? That become job descriptions. Certificates that become job descriptions. We don't want that. We just want people to be people with skills.
Yeah. So Craig, reflecting on your question, and we have the site. The site is up right now. So anybody who wants to go to heartofagile.academy or heartofagileacademy.com, whatever comes to your fingers first, they both lead to the same place. And it's just a single page website right now. And if you look at the courses, we have the Heart of Agile Fundamentals, you know, listed as the first courses. But we've got courses taught by Gabriel Benefield on Mobius. We have courses taught by Jeff Patton on story mapping. We've got my infamous Carpaccio exercise on there, that use cases, Agile for Leaders, Tony's Agile for Leaders class, solution focus. So the idea, my thinking is, well, obviously people will go and they say, oh, Heart of Agile, I'm looking for Heart of Agile class. Oh, by the way, we've got courses in Spanish, French, Portuguese, and English. And so some people, I think people will say, they'll start looking and they'll go, oh, there's that Carpaccio. I want to do that Carpaccio. When's a Carpaccio, right? Just like randomly, like I just want that, right? Or what's Jeff Patton teaching? Oh my gosh. And so Jeff Patton, who's teaching certified Scrum product owner classes for 2 days, that's a big bundle, will teach just a module just on personas or just on validated learning or just on, right? A smaller thing. So I think we're going to see a lot of half-day courses, and people will just like, My speculation, and we'll find out, is people go, oh, empathetic negotiation. Oh, my God, what is that, right? And then I'll just go take that, right? So it's not a specific roadmap at the moment. I think to start off, people will, they'll either go for the Heart of Agile Fundamentals, they'll go for somebody, a teacher they know in their language, or they'll just go, oh, that's a cool class, I'll take that.
Right. Yeah, so I guess looking at the website, there's at the moment it's a bit of a rock star list, except for some guy named Tony, but the rest of it looks pretty good. For everybody on this call is a consultant or a trainer, and a lot of our listeners probably might fit into that bill. So where does this go? Because obviously, someone like Jeff Patton can't scale necessarily, particularly if you start thinking about in-person classes. So, is there a what's the approach for how you bring experts into this fold?
There's what we call in any case an accreditation ladder, right? Like to become accredited as a trainer or an employee, and you know, it wouldn't matter. You're at Softhead, you know, Tony's at Elaborate. The same thing with IC Agile, any kind of a training organization has got a series of steps that someone has to go through to get accredited, right? So, you know, we'll be looking at personal references, professional references. We'll be looking for the tone, the expertise, the style, course content, right? How does it fit in, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think we're just in baby steps now, right? If you look 2 years from now, there's no reason we couldn't have dozens of trainers and hundreds of courses. We're currently limited, I would say, by, you know, what the scaling of the infrastructure permits. And so, again, the courses largely will be non-competing, so we're not going to have too much of a problem in the sense of, hey, we've got too many people teaching the same thing. It's a big world. And for the foreseeable future, like for the next 6 months or even possibly 1 year, depending on how pessimistic you are, all of the courses are going to be run over you know, remote anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, you know, Jeff Patton's going to have his own career. He's going to have Jeff Patton does whatever things, and he's going to do Jeff Patton the CSPO and Jeff Patton with Jeff Gott Health, right? And on occasion, he'll say, "Yeah, hey, I want to do this little baby workshop for the Heart of Agile Academy," right? So that's up to him. That's not for us to coordinate.
So I think part of what Craig's talking about, and obviously I've been involved, so I'll ask the question because I know people are going to ask this question because I asked this question, right? And it's about the it's about making sure that we have the quality of trainers as well. So we talked ad nauseum about this, but I think it might be really good to hear from yourself and Solly how we intend to ensure that the quality of trainers, because, you know, any person can come off the street and say, "Hey, I'm a trainer." And in fact, some of the problems we have in the industry at the moment are people have been trainers for so long, they've forgotten how to do the job.
Or never did it in the first place.
So, Sola, you raise your finger when you want to.
Sure. The accreditation letter or the training or a path that you have to go through basically are three steps that have to be with an application form, an interview, and then a part where we see you in action and skills, right? And in the application part is where we put emphasis on who you are, your style, what are your knowledge, what are your references, professional, personal, because you may know your content very well. We are interested as well in know not only that you know your stuff, but that your style and the way that you think that fits into Heart of Agile is important for us, right? That's how we envision all the courses to fit in there. So there will be a couple of steps to go through. We have different calls during the year for the applications, because we'll take time for the applicant to submit all the references and the reviews to go through them, have an interview, meet them face to face, sit down and watch their training or teaching. There are different things that we are still working on. Yep.
Just jumping in right there, we're actually fortunate right now because everything is remote. Everything's by, you know, Zoom or webcast. So it's very easy for us to go and watch them teach. So we can actually don't have to fly somewhere to actually watch someone teach, and so we get to see all of that.
Yeah, that most of the part is the difficult part, right? Because you can have a lovely certification that says, "Yes, I can teach this," but I never seen you doing it. So being there is part of that accreditation letter. So we are then accredited at different trainers, and as Alistair specified, we can be a specialist for a trainer that trains different specialties on the different quadrants, or a Heart of Agile that is not that as many. We don't want 300 Heart of Agile trainers on the fundamentals. So that's where we're going through with this accreditation level right now, with these different stages. Did I miss anything out of this?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out, you know, that means we have to sit through one of Tony's courses, watch him teach. Oh my God.
Oh yes, we have to watch Tony teaching.
God, he's cracking. He's going revenge.
I feel so sorry for you all.
Alistair Welch, we love you. The only reason we really invite you onto the podcast is it's our opportunity to hang it on Tony.
For those of you who don't know, I've had the pleasure of being Alistair poking me many, many times in many training courses. So yes, it'll be nice to have the shoe on the other foot.
Oh really?
He'll have a platform to go for it. Interesting.
So I just want to pick up on your point there, Solly. So at the moment, you've had experts, you know, so we mentioned someone like Jeff Patton or Alistair on Carpaccio, and their expertises that you bring. And so you can just go to Jeff Patton and say story mapping, and you know he's going to do a good job of it. Have you started to think about how this might start to scale? So, let's just say that Renee or I wanted to run a story mapping workshop. Is there also things in place, like a thought around learning objectives or actually assessing that person, or is it bring your own content and just check that it kind of fits the fits the intent?
Yeah. So let's review that. We have a special filter that people whose last name is Smith are not allowed to teach.
Fair enough.
Hey, Craig, Tony, right? I got one on.
I got through.
I chose. No.
Renee's that's the end of the podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Nah, Renee's my meal ticket. I'm not saying anything negative about Renee. Renee, I love you. Yum, yum, yum. Excellent. Bow. How's that?
Thank you.
Don't do that.
God, make us sick. We're going to hear about this for months.
Yeah, we couldn't be too serious on this podcast for too long. Hey, so that's the accreditation, and I call it a ladder. I don't know. I don't want to call it a process, path, whatever. We're working out, we've got a big spreadsheet with all of the different elements. Assuming that some people enter and don't complete, we're trying to design it so that when people enter at every stage that they participate in the application ladder, that they get something out of it themselves. Even if they fail because they don't like it or if they totally fail, but in the review process and the feedback and the coaching that we'll be giving, that they'll get value for time and money spent just literally being in that application sequence, right? So that's very important. We're trying to be humane about that. And then we will literally watch their courses. Right? So we'll watch it. I happen to know people who are good in the programming domain and want to teach like at domain-driven development or hexagonal architecture or TDD or like that's in like heavy tech people. And so I'll be looking at not only do they know their tech stuff, but how are they at the dialogue with the people, right? So that's what we want. We'll literally be watching the classes. And there we have an advantage in this lockdown period that everybody's classes is online. So there's no travel involved in checking it. We'll be checking personal references, professional references, for looking at the tone. It's very important for us to try to get friendly type people. We will, inside the infrastructure, we'll have to have ways of getting feedback, using SurveyMonkey or whatever to get class respondents. So maybe there's a rating system like on, I love or I hate this teacher. So there's, so that if someone smells clean at the beginning, but people don't like their class, then we get the feedback on that, right? And then can intervene. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess quality is important. I guess maybe where I was going with that is that as this starts to scale, and particularly when we go back to classrooms, let's just use Jeff Patton because it's a known one. If I want to go to a story mapping class, someone with the surname of Smith teaches it, how would you know that you're going to get the same quality class that I would have got if I was with Jeff Patton versus if you get one with Craig Smith, or I'm going to learn the same things. It's more of a scaling problem. At the moment, you're kind of okay.
Yeah, but you won't. And this is really cool that you bring this up because the question presupposes, like SoftEd is a software education company, right? And you teach and you charge for that. We are not. And so it's, for me, it's a marketplace, right? Now, if let's just say three different people choose to teach story mapping, because I'll teach story mapping. I'm not Jeff Patton. My story mapping class is not going to be as good at story mapping as Jeff's. But it'll be good in a different way because I'm Alistair, right? And somebody else. Like, there could be three different story mapping classes. And the reviews play something about that, right? There'll be a marketplace. Jeff Patton's not teaching it. I want it. Jeff's not teaching it. Oh, all right, I'll take it from this Alistair guy, whatever the hell, you know, or from Craig Smith. And the reviews that come back will say, like, it's adequate, not adequate. So people who are shopping, it's a marketplace. My people who are shopping will be able to see something about that. So when we're talking about scale, that feedback's going to come. Yes, Sola?
I think we're Renee,
you don't have your camera on, so we can't see you waving your hands or your facial expression.
Go on, Renee.
I was just going to say, I think the only way it would work is if all reviews are fully transparent, so that there's no filtering and there's that confidence that there's no filtering.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, we've spoken about that. Solly.
Yes. I was thinking what I was going to say when he talked about the different courses, because that's a really good question on the differentiators. I think that it's up to the trainers, the applicants, trainers, to make that differentiator of your class. Maybe my user story mapping class is, of course, not good as Jeff, but maybe there's a flavor, there's something different, another type of outcome that it will be useful for you from there. And I think that plus the feedback from the class, the feedback, we want the feedback as soon as possible so we can get better, so we know where we can adjust. And I think that's all the small gray area, small things that we need to look after, and that's where we are paying more attention and double-clicking now. So thank you for that question.
Yeah, I think the heart of that is that what you said is masterclass. Marketplace is what this really is. So, the fact of the matter is that I have a need, and I also I have a face to that name. So, I want to go and see Soleil teach me on this. Is that masterclass type format, and the marketplace idea is an innovative way of looking at this. So, that's really exciting.
And I want to thank Renee for your comment about the transparency on the feedback. So that's a nice way of phrasing it. So just to let you know, that's gone in now.
Awesome. Sorry, you go, Tony.
No, I was just going to say there's two other facets to that we have talked about as well. It's making sure that, while the trainers are training, obviously they can train story mapping as well, but they're going to be winding in some of the heart of Agile nuances and capabilities. So one of the things we want to do is make sure what they're doing with the heart of Agile is appropriately used as well, or it's being portrayed in the same way that heart of Agile should be. So I think that's important as well. In terms of what you were saying about the transparency of the feedback, also is the feedback is a mechanism to go, okay, we're getting several lots of feedback that aren't great. Do we need to help this person? Do we need to understand what's happening as well? So it's also a higher coaching mechanism, if you like.
Makes sense. I mean, I was looking at the website thinking, are you going to potentially categorize these practices and techniques via the Heart of Agile framework? But I can appreciate that a number of these sort of would integrate into two different elements at the same time. So it's going to be hard for you to do that. But I could see that this could be this huge list sometime in the future, because if you listed out all the different practices and techniques related to Agile or edgy Agile elements, I mean, you mentioned clean language earlier, for example, this could be a list of 300 things. And so managing that list is going to be, I think, a challenge for you in the future, not something you have to worry about right now.
Renee, you're spot on, the people doing the website design, it's one of the members of our group, Georgia Babic, and his partner, Dia, in Serbia, in Belgrade. And we're going to be on that in a heartbeat, because we already have like 35 classes and we've barely gotten started, right? We had another couple of instructors, or everybody puts in all of their classes, we'd be at 50. There's a search problem. And so categorization, and you're exactly right. The immediate thought everybody has is tag it by which of the quadrants, but very many of these will cross quadrants. And so you might, like if you say facilitation, you might tag that with collaboration, right? If you say TED, you put that with delivery, right? But very many of these will cross quadrants. And so there's a search problem.
Yeah.
We'll get there, I think, before we
can talk twice. I've got two final questions. One's quite easy. When does this officially launch? And then the other is, if it's not a role-based certification, just a quick question around why there is an Agile for Leaders course in there.
Cool. Let's take the second one up. First, do you want to take that, Tony, or shall I take that, Tony?
We could sort of take that together. We did speak about that. And why we said about Agile for Leaders, it's not role-based as such because leaders is a big word, right? So it could be executive, you could be a scrum master, you could be whoever wants to or is leading in some way in agility. The thing is once you put agility into an organization, that dissemination of control, right, then leads leaders asking, of all types, asking, what's my part in it? What should I do? What should I expect? How should I work with my people? What are the things I need to do to work with agility? So that's what it's based around. Alistair?
Yeah. And the answer for me, Renee, is again, the certificates only say that you completed a course in, right? So you are not a certified Agile leader at the end of that course. The certificate will read, has completed the course in Agile for Leaders. Right, so it means they took a 2-day, 1-day, however many course in Agile for Leaders. So for me, that the fact that there's certificates of course completion is super important to avoid that kind of inflation. For your other one, so the rollout of this, officially it's already launched, but let's talk about the early days. Let's just take a look at, let's say, the next 2 months, couple of months when we're still inside lockdown or whatever. It's all set up and ready to go. All we need is for someone to teach a class, yeah? And so the teachers are going to advertise their own classes. So let's just say, I'll just take Tony for this. I'll take me, why not? So I'm gonna teach a Carpaccio class. I just go to Eventbrite, as I usually do, make a course ad, you know, do my stuff, teach it, and at the end, I'll go to the Heart of Agile Academy and, you know, upload the class list and pay the money, right, for the fees and stuff like that, do all that, and the people get the certificates. Same again. If Sola does that, if Tony does that, hey, Renee, you know, you're an early accreditor. You're in here. Let's say Catherine Lewis, because she's down in here. She's already in here. She's got this wonderful thing called empathetic negotiation. I'm dying to take this class. It's up to Catherine, right? She just goes, advertises a course, puts it on Eventbrite, teaches the course. Right? When she's all done, she gives us the class list, we upload it, send out the certificate, she pays the fees, boom, boom. So it's already in existence. Literally, we're just waiting for somebody to announce a course. And probably, you know, Soli and I are going to teach a 1-day online, remote in person is how I call it, part of Agile Fundamentals 1-day. But I could just decide to do it next week, or any of these people could decide to do it next week and roll it. So it's already there. It's already there. Right now, because of that mechanism I just described, it mostly makes sense to do it for organizations, right? So if a company asks us to do it, that's the easiest mechanism that we can use right now. But basically, yeah, we're already open. Sola?
Yeah, I was about to say that today we're open for organizations or a group that are interested in getting the classes in, and then it's up to the teachers to publish it. So yeah, so we're open for business.
That's about the length of time you guys want to use for the podcast, probably.
Yeah, I guess. Is there anything else you'd like us to take away from it? You know, we've talked a lot about the mechanisms. We've talked a lot about it, but I think it's there's a few other things that I know you talk about, and it is if you wrap it up in the why, the total why now, You've told us, you know, about the certifications, told us that, but there's an ulterior why there, right?
No, well, I'm not a big why guy, but there is something I want to talk about, and I talk about all the time, which is more important for me than mission or vision and stuff, is that that an organization has a personality. And this particular group of people is really generous with their time, generous with their listening, generous with their opening. And after one of these kind of like mission vision meetup thingies one day, we came up with three words that are important to us, and they are openness, dialogue, and humanity. And so if you go to the website, you know, up at the top of the website somewhere, you see this kind of a badge. It's the Heart of Agile, kind of a badge thing. It has dialogue, openness, and learning. So our Heart of Agile communities, anytime somebody wants to start a meetup or a community, we have long dialogues around trying to stay open inside of a conversation. And that's that dialogue, openness, and humanity. And so for the Heart of Agile Academy here, we shifted the humanity to learning. So, right? And this is very important. It'll be part of the accreditation ladder is testing and coaching and evaluating people on the idea of being in dialogue and being open all the time. So, yeah, Tony, thank you. And it's not a why, but I'll tell you, for me personally, this is the most important thing to try to retain about the Heart of Agile, is it keeps this quality of dialogue and openness there. So, Ola, did you want to pick up anything off of that?
I think you wrap it up perfectly, because I think that's what we've been after all these years, right, about the tone and the personality. That's, I think, is what defined us, and that's what we want. I always like to say, if we want to make a change in the world, let's start by one organization, one team, one person at a time. And I think going through these three elements as enablers of the actions of the Heart of Agile is the way. So I think that will sum up all the idea that we're after.
Well, that's fantastic. And I guess on that note, that's probably a poignant time. As Alistair said, our time's come to an end. But we really want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us, and Solly, for you staying up until the wee hours of the morning. For those of you who aren't aware, you know, it's very, very late in Belgium. So we have this little thing that we do at the end of ways we'd like you to participate in. Try best, Solly, is after the count of three, we always finish with Viva la Revolution. So I'd like you to join.
Just before we do that, Tony, I guess just the final, I guess, wrap up. There is lots of stuff on the website. If people now are interested, Alistair, just to repeat for everybody, where can they go if they want to learn more about this?
You can type in heartofagileacademy.com. And that will redirect you to heartofagile.academy. So whichever you like, it'll take you there.
Excellent. And I assume, you know, as people are listening, that website's going to continue to update with more and more information as you continue to evolve this.
Great.
Excellent. And Solly, if people want to know more about you and all the things you do, where can they find you online?
Well, if you go to our website, our Heart of Agile, you will have my profile in there. I'm currently running Heart of Agile Europe, managing all the businesses around here. And I'm 100% on this, and LinkedIn as well as Soledad Pinter. But if you go through the Heart of Agile website and heartofagile.com, in the directory, you will find our resume. Tony also is there. And of course, Alistair.
Excellent. Thank you. Tony.
All right. So, after the count of three, ready? One, two, three. Viva la Revolution.
Can we do that again? Cut
yeah.
it. One,
yeah.
Two, so it goes one, two, three. Viva la Revolution, right?
That's it.
I'm watching your hand. You be the conductor, man.
One, two, three. Viva la
Revolution.
See,
thank
we just had to iterate.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Awesome.
Thank you all. Bye-bye, everybody.